will continue these services, and I shall read for Paul's letter to Ephesians, chapter 2, from verses 19 through 22, and the words are heard in Jesus' name. For through him we both have access to the Father by Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Christ Jesus himself as a cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen. Paul wrote this letter in the city of Ephesus, or to those who lived in the city of Ephesus, to his own. Ephesus was one of the largest cities under the Roman occupation, which is now in Turkey. And there, God's word had also spread. The Apostle Paul was there, had traveled, visited there earlier in his third journey. He was there over 2 years. These believers in Ephesus had become dear unto him and very close. In the same chapter, in verse 4 and onward, Paul writes, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming of ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Paul here wanted to tell in love and remind these people of Ephesus how God was merciful towards them, that God had given them a gift from grace, that they were saved by grace and not according to the works of man, but it was a great gift from God. These believers in Ephesus, or these Ephesians, was a former Gentile people. When Paul also speaks, Paul also writes here, "Therefore remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in a body by human hands. Remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God's work, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, who was once far away, have brought near by the blood of Christ." this gospel of God's kingdom was able to travel to the Gentile nations. Even as it has been, as it has also traveled here into here in our own country, homeland. And we could say in this way, it has traveled throughout the whole world. This text began. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Paul wished to bring forth that connection that had happened, or that had happened. That when a person was able to believe the gospel, the forgiveness, the sins forgiven, he spoke of the family of God, as we are also speak that we are brothers and sisters, even in a temporal, as in a temporal family, we have brothers and sisters. Also in this family of God, or household of God, we are brothers and sisters. We are of the same family. In the next chapter, verse 6, Paul says, enlightenments. This mystery is that though through the gospel of Gentiles, our heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in a promise in Christ Jesus. During the last years, I have been able to go on mission trips in Africa and South America. And this text that I read today has been such a text there used many times as a sermon, for my sermon. Both brothers and sisters there . These members of this family are far away. They have a different skin tone. They have their standard of life is different. But as Paul here says to these people, to these Ephesians, the believers of Ephesus, who were Gentiles, that you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. I have been able to experience this many times during these travels, how there they await us. And with love, they accept visitors, and how they wish to be believing and listening and hearing that same gospel that we hear in Finland, also believing, also believe. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. The Apostle Paul uses here a picture of a building, of a rock building. These parables are pictures of God's kingdom, of the unity of God's children. There are many examples here in the Bible. We sang in a song of the vine tree, this parable of the vine tree was a parable of Christ, of which he spoke to his disciples. Before he was arrested and brought to the cross, Jesus said, "I am the vine tree, you are the branches. He who stays with me and I stay with him shall bring forth a lot of fruit. Without me, you can do nothing." These branches of the vine tree, vine tree, are attached to that same tree. They are connected one to another. It is important that we remain a fresh branch on this vine tree. So that we would not dry and fall off that tree. In the same way, here in this parable of Paul, if we say it that way, of this building, Paul says that you are stones on that building. The building doesn't have to be just any building, but it says here, the foundation are the apostles and prophets, and the chief cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. This building has been founded upon that revelation of God that has been prophesied through the prophets and the apostles, and the cornerstone is Christ himself. The cornerstone is the most important part in this building, so that it would remain whole. Christ reconciled the sins of all people. Jesus Christ is a cornerstone. His work of salvation, through his work of salvation, it is made possible that we are stones in this building. Those rocks are placed upon that foundation, one next to each other. In this way, I have found out that I have heard said that sometimes mortar was used between these rocks or stones, and this mortar is the love between brothers and sister. This mortar helps us connect even different stones together. There may be such stones that would not otherwise fit in the wall, but this love between God's children, it makes it possible. That these stones go together, good, great, one next to another, with his mortar. The Apostle Peter also speaks of this building in his first letter, in the second verse, second chapter, when he says, "Come unto him, to the living rock that the people have forsaken, but which is chosen by God, and before his eyes very precious, and build yourself as living stones into spiritual, and give sacrifice which are acceptable unto God in behalf of Jesus Christ." These stones of the building are living stones. They are not these natural rocks. God has given birth to life. These are the stones of God's own temple. Dear listeners, have you are you one of these living stones in this building of God? Have you connected to this temple as a living stone? Today at these summer services is heard that invitation. You, dear friend, who feels that you do not have this peace in your hearts, you don't feel you are not a member of this kingdom of God, this congregation of God. Today, the Heavenly Father wishes to approach you. You have that possibility or opportunity. It is possible for you to receive the greatest gift in your life that you may ever receive. You may get living faith into your heart. Heavenly Father wishes to approach you repent and believe the forgiveness of sins, or the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. You can believe your unbelief and all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And when you want to believe in this way, you will be connected to this building, as a living stone. As Peter here wrote, build yourself into the as a living rock. He speaks of the whole building in this way, that it becomes a temple of God. And he connects you through his spirit as stone, building stone. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his spirit. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, Paul writes, of this between God's children, that I, who is a prisoner of the Lord, tell you who have received this grace to remain humble. May love help you to come to get along with each other. Keep peace in this spirit. There is only one body, one spirit, and the hope to which you have been called is one. This connection between God's children is important. What breaks is love between God's children. Is it not sin? Our own flesh. Being tempted by the enemy of the soul. The temptations of this world. It wishes to be breaking this love between God's children. But in God's kingdom, there is the gospel. We have spoken of this gospel very much here. This gospel cleans, it cares. And that gospel can return a love between one another. This gospel of forgiveness of sins we preach from God's kingdom. It is preached nowhere else in the same way, nor can they experience it. I listened in the morning from the radio. It was spoke about the mission work. And it was explained how that in the lands of Africa, churches are being founded. A church, whose name is the Church of the Forgiveness of Sins in Togo. At the gate of this church in Togo is a text. The Temple of the Forgiveness of Sins. This message that it is explained there is this, that a person can believe for sins forgiven as just as he is, as a gift from God, through the grace of God. And this proclamation has been such that has been accepted there. In March, I was in Kenya, after a 2-year break. Now, during the last two times when there have been all types of restrictions, the work of God's kingdom has gone forward there. There have many of those who wish to accept the gospel. And the gospel has spread into new areas. If you are listening to this sermon there far away, we wish to you from here, send greetings. That here, as there, the message of the forgiveness of sins, the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, can be heard. We can be of a secure mind. We can trust in that the Heavenly Father will take good care of us. Dear brothers and sisters, even now you have permission to believe all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. This gospel is the power of God unto us here on our journey. Paul came to Ephesus at the end of his journey, at the end of his third journey. In the Acts, in chapter 20, in verse 17, it is said, 16 and 17, Paul was going to sail past by Ephesus on his way back to Paul wanted to still visit the people or children of God of Ephesus. He had a feeling that he would no longer see them, as he said here, "Now I know that you will no longer see us." I have preached God's kingdom for this reason. Today I wish to tell you that if any of you would forsake your faith, the fault is not mine. I have openly spoken unto you all that should be worth hearing. Take care of one another, for the Holy Spirit has bonded you together. Take care of the congregation that the Lord has given you. And then Paul says later, I leave you in the grace care of God that has the power to build you and give you your portion of your inheritance. His inheritance is awaiting you and me, dear brother and sister. That inheritance is awaiting there in heaven. We can remain under the grace care of God, as Paul here says, wrote to the Ephesians, or we can continue this journey in that living hope. That when we end our journey in faith, we will receive that inheritance that is awaiting us in our home in heaven. Your children, boys and girls, believe you also, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And you, dear travel friend, who is listening to this sermon, be you at home or in the hospital, this gospel is meant for you. That Lord Jesus, as a good shepherd, is taking good care of you. You can also believe your own sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. I would also ask, being tempted in many ways, I have come here, can I yet believe my own sins forgiven? I wish to believe with you. Let us remain under the grace, care, and word. And in Jesus' name, amen.